It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here on this Saturday. Captain Mike, good morning. Oh, there, you moved mics on me again. There you go. Move back to mic three. You're always doing that. That's mic two over there. You're on mic three. It's all right. We'll make it through. This is how we get started. And it's a full fishing show ahead of us. Talking inshore, talking offshore. Okay, you and I will talk a little bit of hunting. Still getting pictures actually back
from friends. We're going to have to talk a little bit of hunting.
Yeah, we are. And we'll talk about the baiting bill that we didn't get to, you know, some of the, we talked about it last week, but we'll talk a little more about that coming up in the show. And also, still getting pictures from folks that are lucky enough to be turkey hunting in states where season is still open.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's good stuff. We'll get into that. But yeah, on the fishing front, the man who never leaves him alone. I don't care if it's December. I don't care if it's May. I don't care if it's August. That's Captain Wayne Miller. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Not as good as you. You're getting after him. As May is here, I mean, this is maybe one of our first, if I say this, I'm going to jinx it, but our first chances at getting rivers back in the banks and start getting things cleared up for a while.
Yeah, you know, it really has. It's been, you know, kind of a tough spring, but, you know, the great thing is, you know, and that's just with the diversity of the, you know, fishery that we have, Sean, I mean, there's still a lot of places you can go catch fish even when that water is high. And that's kind of the situation we've had. I mean, the Mobile was, you know, it bumped back up over 7 feet this past week, but it's dropping out. And you know, the rivers to the north have been high and they're falling, but you know, still catching a tremendous number of fish in the middle and the lower delta because we hadn't transitioned into that really tough dog days of summer bites yet.
Well, yeah, that water temp is still where what are you seeing?
You know, depending on where you are from the standpoint of you know, the current out toward the rivers and all that, it's anywhere from, you know, the low to mid-70s into the lower 80s.
But that's still, I mean, that's still pretty good water temperatures for those fish.
That's,
I mean,
that's pretty warm.
You know, but they'll still be active, right? When do you start seeing them slow down?
Yeah, you know, I mean, when you transition from the middle 80s up to the upper 80s and low 90s, and, you know, we're not there yet, but when you see that, I mean, it really starts pulling fish off into these deep water patterns. And you know, I mean, it's definitely a little bit tougher go of it going out trying to piece together, you know, numbers of fish anyway.
What are the rivers doing right now, Wayne? I haven't checked the rivers. What's the Alabama Tom Bigby doing right now?
Well,
I know you check them every day.
And, you know, they're falling pretty hard now because, you know, we saw really significant rises on them. You know, I mean, we had with this last high water event, you know, a week ago.
Right.
But they're falling pretty hard. So, and that keeps things, you know, really muddy and stained up bad.
It does.
But, you know, the good news is once they fall on out, and, you know, we'll see that over the next, you know, 3-4 days. And then, you know, it's just a matter of getting that water to start cleaning up some.
Yeah, I want to delve into that too, and I want to, if folks go over to our Facebook page, they'll see some pictures that you took, because as we talk about, not only a bass fishing guide, but a pilot, among his other exploits, an engineer and all that, or Captain Wayne Miller, but you took some pictures flying over the Delta, and I think it's worth people, they probably know it, but if they go look at it from the aerial, it tells a story of stained water versus clearer water, you know, how just one turn in a river bend or going up a creek can change everything.
Yeah, it really does, Sean. I mean, that picture, one of the pictures I sent you is really neat because you actually see you got the water. You can see the water clarity in a bay and then the main river running adjacent to the bay and then a creek. And, I mean, it's just a stark, you know, really contrast on those water clarities. Now, you know, we talk about that all the time this time of year when we have high water events. We tell people, well, you know, go up in the creeks and mm-hmm. you start seeing, you know, the water clean up. Well, you can actually see that, you know, that difference here in these pictures. But, you know, really what that means for people is, you know, when you go up in these creeks, I mean, there's, you know, a phenomenal difference between what most of them look like at where they dump into the river and the head of the creeks.
Big time.
That applies whether you're talking about a lake like McReynolds or down south some of the smaller creeks. But, you know, one thing I tell people to make sure you consider when you move up in there and start looking for patterns as far as, you know, trying to find fish, the areas up in the head where you have the extremely clear water, those are great areas to target early and late in the day because they've got good water clarity. I mean, it's really clear, and typically it's a good top water area. So that's why I say I try to target those early and late in the day.
But those fish also would be, you're saying as the sun gets up, those fish are going to get spooky.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, with the kind of days we've been having where you got this really sparse cloud cover, you pretty much bluebird days. I mean, once you get that sun up, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, man, those areas up where you got that extremely clear water, it can get tough trying to catch fish up there. And that's when you kind of transition back to some of those areas that have stained water, because those fish, if they've got wood cover or they got grass, they're much more likely to stay active, even with that sun being out. And, you know, so it really gives you a lot of area to fish, but you just have to be willing to bounce around. And, you know, it's amazing because you may try two or three spots, and, man, all of a sudden you'll find one little area, and you'll light them up for 30, 45 minutes.
But you're making a really good point here and a good tip, you know, making lemonade out of lemons. People would say, oh, we got stained water. But as you pointed out in these aerial pictures, you got different kinds of stain. And so early there you are in the real clear stuff at the head of the creeks. And by the way, those topwater fish are fantastic. I'm glad you left the pictures of the lure in there. They got me excited. But you catching them on topwater. But as soon as, like, if you're in a real clear lake that everything was the same, as soon as that shut down because the sun got too high, you'd be shut down. But you're saying at that point you just move to a little more stained water and you sustain that bite.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what I do, I'll fall back to some of that stained water into the exact same creek. And, you know, I may transition from a buzz bait, but I may start throwing a spinner bait or a bladed jig. And, man, you know, those fish, you know, they won't be buried up in grass. You know, they'll still be active in that stained water, and you can just keep right on catching them. I knew you'd pick up on those buzz baits in those pictures. I've just done that.
I zoomed in, laser zoom on that.
What about the bays right now? Are they good? Is there too much grass in there right now to fish?
You know, Mike, what's happened with the bays, I mean, we've had, you know, with the advent of this extremely warm weather, the grass is just absolutely blown up in the bays.
Right.
So it's virtually impossible to fish them unless you just got a super high tide and a south wind that puffs them up. But, you know, we've gotten to the point now to where that's really, for most of the bass guys, you know, we've pretty much deserted the bays now.
Right. Not that it's not fishing.
The fish are still there, but you just
can't get to them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so hard to go in there and try to mine them out.
That, mining you know, them, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're better off to, you know, spend that time in the creeks and, you know, areas that, you know, you don't have to work that hard to try to find, locate them, and get one in the boat.
Yeah, we've been talking also through this spring, even with, I mean, the amount of fresh water we've had, that the redfish were still staying kind of put north of the causeway. Are you still seeing that?
Man, I am still catching. I should have sent you some pictures of the reds because I just continue to catch them, and it's amazing, you know, and not just reds. I mean, I was up on the west side, up around the Dead Lake area one day this week, and way back in one of the creeks, and caught a flounder.
Isn't that amazing?
On a lizard.
So just south, basically just south of 65.
Yeah.
In May, after having an extremely wet spring, and you catch old flatfish up.
That's amazing.
That's why we can't find them in our creel surveys down here. That's what happens to our flounder. They're all up in Dead Lake.
Wayne,
we've talked extensively about these redfish, and I can tell you, man, there's redfish, just about everywhere. I mean, it really is amazing. I think their numbers are, I don't have any scientific data to back it up, but I just know I catch them all over the delta. So,
Do have scientific data because you fish every day.
Fishermen, so I know it's not an anomaly.
Right.
I know people are seeing them everywhere.
Well, we've been talking about this, for the last decade or so, because I keep each year, I said, this is the best for slot fish, best red fishing, like the golden ages now. Like, I'm happy for my kids.
I agree with you.
When I, in the 80s, growing up and fishing, it was not anything like this. And the fact that you're still, you catch redfish certain time of year in the Delta, and I had spots you'd pull in there and catch. But now that, here the river's flooded, and it's May, and you're still whacking redfish north of the causeway with great consistency. Yeah. That's a great thing.
Well, it's really, even though he's a great friend of mine, I don't get to talk to him often because we both stay pretty busy. But I love listening to y'all's show because, I love listening to Captain Bobby's report. And, that's kind of his fallback. If things get tough, man, he falls back to those reds. He can count on them.
Running home to mama is what he calls it.
That's it, man. It's great.
Hey, let's before we go, we got just a minute left. The river's a high right now. If they stays like it is right now, keeps falling, when do you think you can get up to the Alabama Tom Bigby and start fishing?
I knew you were going
to. I got to ask that question. It's that time of the year.
Well,
I'm ready to go.
Actually, the Alabama will be good. You can go up there and fish it right now. And, within the next couple of days, it'll be getting down and cleaning up. It'll really be good. Now, probably looking at a little more extended on the Tom side, probably a week, Mike.
Okay. And that's for the rivers clearing up. Where are we on the timeline for fishing drains? I love talk about that. When would you head up there to fish drains falling out?
On the Alabama, you need to be up there right now if you want to do that.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. I got Ryan Summers doing a little bit of work on my boat, and I'll be ready to go.
All right, good deal, Mike.
All right, man.
I can't wait for go make one of those trips, too.
Yep.
Hey, if folks want to get a trip booked with you, whether it's fishing right now or during the summer or anytime, how do they get that trip booked?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
All right. Captain Wayne will check back with you soon and get back to catching them.
Okay, guys. Have a great one.
All right. We'll see you, Wayne.
Yeah, y'all go look at those pictures over on the Facebook page we posted up. There's, as always, some fish shots there of the fish he's catching this week, but I think you'd serve yourself well if you go look at his aerial pictures and see how this area is more stained, this area is clear, and get that idea that you can pick up and move. Fish one area first thing in the morning, then move and stay in the fish all day. All right, coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Big thank you, Captain Wayne Miller. And you can check those pictures out on our Facebook page, which, there's the Facebook page for FM Talk 106.5, but a lot of people still don't know. They go looking at the Facebook page for the main station, but we have our own.
Yes.
Yes, for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. So you can check that out by just going to Facebook and do FM Talk 106.5 like normal, but just put Outdoors on it, and it'll take you right there.
Yeah.
So the fishing report is up there with Captain Bobby, report from this last week, pictures from Captain Wayne Miller. Love to see your pictures, also links to different things. Weeks ago, we put up the link to the baiting bill as it was described there, and we'll get into that as well. You know, we said we'd talk all fishing, but then we said, nah, we'll talk a little bit of hunting, because I do want to talk.
This is brand new. Got to talk about
it. Yeah, I want to go revisit this baiting bill at the same time, too. This is prep time. If you're getting ready for next hunting season, this is prep time. I am looking at, maybe I'll post that picture of, I don't know, it's a whole 18-wheeler load of lime sitting at our place I just had delivered.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be slinging lime as hard as I can before the rain gets in.
4 to 6 months before you plant.
Yep.
It's got to get in the ground and really kind of activate, and that's what makes it work. It's hard. You don't want to do that in the fall. You don't want to do that when you're the week before you're going to plant.
Right, because what that will do, it will be good in the spring.
Yes.
So if you're talking right now, the way I look at it, and I'm having to gauge getting dry weather, you know, it's by tomorrow, maybe a chance of rain, but to get that lime spread, you want to do it when, you know, you back up. I mean, it'd be perfect world, I might have done it in April, but in reality, here's when I can do it. Trying to have that lime, bringing the pH up in the soil at our place to have it ready for September, October deer patches. And as it gets better, it's not like it waits 4 months and then all of a sudden activates. It's before it gets to its best activation.
Yeah.
But it lets your soil, that's the thing too, we always talk about, we all kind of know, okay, we got to get the pH up in the soil. Most soils around here are acidic, right?
Yes.
I mean, just by default.
Mobile County.
Yeah,
yes.
Anything, and in Washington County, and, yeah. You know, I mean, it's easier to talk about the areas in Alabama where the soil is not acidic by nature.
Yeah.
Black Belt.
Yeah.
That's outside that. I'm talking about even to some degree. I mean, it's better in North Alabama because you have the limestone washing out of the mountains. And anywhere in valleys right around mountains, it's usually okay. But if you're in, because of the amount of rainfall we get, and if you grow the heck out of pine trees and piney woods, there's a good chance that you got acidic soil.
That's right.
I mean, it's just the way it is. Okay. So what happens with it is interesting that the reason you want to get the pH up is any fertilizer or nutrients that are in that soil are bound by low pH. In other words, you can put the fertilizer, you can sling the triple 13, do whatever, you know, deer plot special this fall, and you're putting fertilizer in the soil, and it's there, although over time sun leaches out fertilizer, but it's there, but the plants can't get after it.
Yeah.
The more towards neutral, like a 7.0, your soil is, the more of the, at 7.0, most fertilizers are 100% usable by the plant.
It can absorb it more.
That's right.
Yes.
I mean, you can spend less in fertilizer if you get your pH right.
That's exactly right.
You can back off what you've been slinging in the past because you got your pH right. So that's why, just a side note on doing that.
You save money. I mean, you know, you put out, you know, a ton of fertilizer. What's a ton? What are you paying a ton now?
What, for fertilizer?
Not fertilizer. I mean for lime. What are you paying for lime right now, a ton?
It was, because I got a bunch of different things factored in with the buggy and all that stuff. I think it's in the 30s,
that's about what it is.
35, 30, maybe 32 a ton. Right. I don't have it in front of me.
Most places can use a ton to 2 tons an acre.
I'm without even getting my soil test back.
Yeah,
I'm already without seeing anything. I'm putting 2 tons to the acre.
Yeah,
and I guarantee you, I'll get a soil test back. It'll tell me to put another ton or two on. And next year, I'll do the same. It's a new place we're getting in. We're trying to get things squared away on pH. Problem is too that you got to, it's the reason it doesn't get done is because it's a pain. Okay, and, you know, got some. You're watching even our buddy Chuck Sykes and watching old Management Advantage shows and all that. It's fine if you live on the land, you got all the time in the world, you got all the equipment, you know, to do all this stuff. Believe me, I'm like y'all. I'm the weekend warrior. I'm the guy with the smaller truck. I don't have my own hopper. Lucky enough to have tractors. So I mean, I get 18-wheeler delivers a lime.
Yeah,
comes in there, delivers a lime. Most lime you get around here is coming out of Calera, you know, coming up by Birmingham. They dump it, and then you go rent most places, your feed stores, you know, they're going to have that hopper. You rent the hopper. Now, you got to make sure to get on the list because this time of year, there are a lot of people like me that are getting them.
Farmers,
so,
too.
Yes, are liming. So you get that buggy, and you can tow an empty buggy with a lot smaller truck than you can a full buggy.
Yeah.
And then you bring that down. And the buggy is just a big hopper system using as the tires turn, as you're pulling that cart, it moves a chain drive that spins the lime, which is kind of nice too, though, because if you stop all of a sudden, there's a rut or whatever, you're not slinging lime
That's right.
at that point. So it's a good system. They work great. But nobody would need one 24/7. It's something. No, it's a rental.
You don't go buy one,
right?
Unless you've got a big farm. Or
yes,
something,
it, right. If you're doing food plots, you don't buy one. You just get one, and you know it's money well spent on doing that. Also, you know, I'm trying to get things ready soil wise too, because I still hadn't gotten beans in the ground, but I'm gonna try to get beans in the ground soon. Of course, come June, I'm doing chufas and my dove patches.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, this is right now. This is go time between liming and then spraying. You know, using glyphosate to kill everything back to be able to get in there and plant.
People don't realize how much work there is involved in keeping the place right.
But the nice thing is
keeping it right now. I mean, if you don't care about it being right, there's not a lot of work involved.
Right.
If you want to get a place right, there's a lot of work involved.
Nice thing is, though, you can spread the peanut butter more thinly, I think, if you do it this way. Once you get your pH right, once you're doing spraying regimes and all that, even things like with annuals or perennials like a clover, doing your mowing now and all that and keeping your clover right and keeping the grasses out of there. When everybody has three long weekends in the fall to get ready or two long weekends in the fall, you might have a weekend.
Yeah.
When you get your stuff right and you're already – instead of being super crunch time, that's the only thing. But you will when everybody is doing what I'd be doing this afternoon – catching speckled trout on the full moon, going in the full moon, you're going to be slinging lime. So that's just the truth.
But you can buy about half the fertilizer that you've been buying and do the same thing or even more.
Absolutely.
So you'll save
fertilizer
a lot of
is not getting any cheaper.
No, it's $10, $12 a bag, mm-hmm. something like that. And bag is 50 pounds. So what is that? What would that be, a ton?
I thought there would be no math. I didn't know I'd have to be doing math.
20, so be $400 a ton?
Might be.
Yeah, might be.
Might be.
If my math is right.
Yeah,
so
what Mike said.
$400 a ton. So would I want to spend $60 for 2 tons that acre, or would I want to spend $400?
That's right.
Yeah.
It also saves you time and hauling, and you know, instead of hauling, I mean, think about if you cut the amount of fertilizer you had to put in trucks and on trailers in the fall in half. What that would mean to you. So there's just, there's some definite wildlife work being done right now. Also mentioned the trout. And we'll talk about this because if there was ever, I'm not saying this won't, June will be fantastic and all that, but if there was ever a set of days, how about this? These are, in my opinion, based on calendar experience, those things, I have not been on the water, I have not been trout fishing.
I hadn't either, Sean.
But calendar, if I had to pick a window of time to be trout fishing, it'd be right now through about Tuesday.
Yeah.
It would have been from about yesterday through about Tuesday. Full moon, I think, is tonight or tomorrow night.
Yeah.
That you already have the water temperatures warming up. You have this full moon that drives the biggest spawn. Now, there was trout spawn last month. And there's a trout spawn, probably a smaller one the month before. There's probably one in March, actually happened then, April. And there'll be one in June, and there'll be one in July, most likely. But this is like the cherry spot. It's just May full moon over the years have produced bigger fish for me for a couple of reasons. You catch that fish, and they're full of roe. And if you're weighing a fish, you say, hey, my personal best is 6 pounds or 7 pounds, whatever, this is a better chance to do it.
Absolutely.
And on Facebook,
they've been catching some big ones. I've been seeing some really fine 6 and 7 pounders caught.
And those 6 and 7 pounders, you'll catch them after they spawned out. They're fives or five and a half,
that's right.
Which are still awesome fish.
Yeah.
Awesome fish. But right now is a chance if you want to, have that weight on that digital scale tell you something that, be a benchmark. This is when to do it. Shrimp have been kind of hard to get. They're getting a little bit easier, but still not easier, which tells me something pretty interesting, though. You could probably get away with using, if you want to go cast net, fin fish, or other bait, because they're right now probably feeding on a lot of glass minnows, a lot of fish. Croakers are showing up some. Usually, usually it's June we're talking croakers, but I could argue, too, with the water temperature, I wouldn't be shy this afternoon of having a dozen or two croakers and running those.
What about small menhaden?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Or no, I know. Big menhaden.
Because I know there is a lot of menhaden at the island right now.
Okay, that's what I do.
There's a lot of them there.
Because, I mean, just if you look at the idea, I mean, shrimp always work. Listen, if you get shrimp, shrimp's always great. But the fact that you're having trouble getting shrimp from the bait shops right now, it's not trouble, but it's not in full supply.
Right.
We're just coming off of getting Florida shrimp into low. You're having a little bit of trouble getting those shrimp. Tell me the trout are having a little trouble getting shrimp, which means they're focusing on – I mean, they're going to eat.
Yeah.
So they're going to eat menhaden. They're going to eat croakers. They're going to eat, other fin fish out there, glass minnows, even though you think glass minnow, they're so small, but they're, I mean, when they can get the glass minnows, trout, I mean, how many times have you caught trout that are just steady puking up
in your live well, yeah.
Not that you're going to run that, but if you're thinking about using an artificial lure too, maybe smaller,
yeah,
silver, you know, things like that would work right now. But yeah, I wouldn't, I mean, with the water temp as it is and with it being around the spawn, I wouldn't hesitate 2 seconds to run a croaker right now on a flat line or a Carolina rig right now. I usually say, hey, don't use croakers till June. I think you get bit.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. Absolutely.
All right.
I'm sure the outside beach right now fishing is probably starting to get good, too.
Never heard of that place. Where? Where is that?
Well, it's way out yonder on the other side of Dolphin Island, on the beach side.
Nobody goes out front to catch speckled trout.
But I haven't heard anybody. You may have, but I haven't heard anybody going out there. But I know it's got to be getting right.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great place to catch them right now.
All right, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Coming right back, we will get to this baiting bill. If y'all have not heard what passed, Conservation Advisory Board now been signed off by Governor Ivey. Y'all can bait. As Director Chuck Sykes says, y'all can sit in a pile of corn and shoot them.
Stand in it.
Yeah,
shoot them coming.
Like having a shower coming down on your corn while you're shooting them. Coming right back. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here on this Saturday. And big thank you, Captain Wade Miller. I hope you all get a chance to check out those pictures from the, the bass pictures are on there too, but the flyover pictures of the Delta, pretty cool stuff, and gives you an idea what he was talking about, how you can go from real clear water to stained water, and instead of it being something you're working against, can actually kind of increase your fishing during the day. Fish shut down in the real clear water, you fish those early, you moved out to a little more stain, a little more stain, a little more stained water, and keep that fish going. Also, a subject that we've been talking about for a while, but now, yeah, as we said last week, it is the law. The baiting bill passed, and it has been signed off on by Governor Ivey. What this means, I'll put it in Sullivanese, and then mm-hmm. you can correct me if I've messed this up. Y'all can bait. Y'all can sling corn. Now, for deer and hogs. Okay, and because somebody asked me the other day on the text line about this, I want to answer this. They said, well, I go buy it now. You can buy these stamps, the baiting privilege stamper license.
That's my question I'm going to have with you just
yeah, you can buy it right now, but it is going to have to be renewed when I think it's, and you and I are insulated from this some because we both have lifetime licenses, but I think, what is it, September 1st or?
I think it's August.
Okay, somewhere in there, whenever license.
We got lifetime license,
right.
We don't buy a license.
So
anymore.
But I still, each year, about then, I get my duck stance, my WMA permit, and all that stuff. But when stuff renews, which I think is end of August, beginning of September.
Maybe September, August, September, yeah.
Okay. When that happens, if you buy that bait and license right now, it's not going to be good for a calendar year. It's going to be good till August, September.
Yeah.
Then you have to get another one.
But now, Sean, here's my question. I was told that this guy called the conservation department, if you're still hunting nuisance animals like hogs
right.
at night, you don't have to have that permit.
But
if you're hunting it over corn, I guess, in the daytime, you have to have it?
Yeah, well,
not exactly clear. Now, when we talked to Chuck, he said the only place you could buy that was online right now. It wasn't going to be in the Walmarts mm-hmm. and the stores, but it will be in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the only way you could buy it was from the conservation department.
If
so that, to me, means that you have to buy one now if you're going to hunt hogs over corn.
Well, without letting the game warden know, if you go through and look and go online, you can open up the book, what is the letter of the law versus what's enforced? The letter of the law, if I understand it, I'm going to paraphrase it here because I don't have a copy in front of me, but this is in my brain, that if you're going to be hunting hogs at night and doing all these things, you're supposed to call the conservation officer in your area.
You get a nuisance license.
Right, and let them know. And I think that nuisance, that would override, I think, because you can't be hunting hogs at night without having checked in with your game warden in that area.
But if you're hunting hogs over corn at night, but I think
once you check in and we get a text in here or a Facebook post from somebody, I know there's conservation officers listen to us as well, see if we're correct. But the way I would understand it is if you've checked in with that warden, put yourself on the list. Hey, Sean and Mike over at Sean and Mike Farms, we're shooting hogs. You know, then that conservation officer knows there's guns going off at night. They know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Then I think if you're hunting over corn, I think you're okay. But double check that. But I think that if you were part of a nuisance permit, but you heard conservation, you heard Chuck Sykes talk about this last week, that if you're just going out to hunt hogs and you're going to hunt them over bait right now, you got to, even if it's July,
yeah,
you have to have a stamp.
Yeah.
And by the way, this is like online, we talked about it, to go to purchase. It's 15 plus the issuance fee.
No, it's 14, 14
plus the issuance fee of $1 for $15.
Yeah.
There's the thing that's, and we could get into the nuance of that too, that why it's so important, but let's roll this out first. You got to have one of these if you're hunting over bait. If you're sitting there hunting and there's bait there, it doesn't matter if you don't have to have a license. You're hunting your own property. You're over 64, isn't it?
65.
Under 65. Over 65.
Under 16.
Doesn't matter. You don't have to have a license. You still have to have one of these.
If you're going to hunt over corn, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
It doesn't matter, period.
The best description,
you got to have one.
The best description is for you and I both, you and your grandson or me and my children, right? We go to the shooting house, and let's say everybody – I guess I could make the argument if there's only one gun, only one person's hunting. But let's say everybody has a rifle.
Yeah.
Okay? And we're looking over a corn pile. Or if they come up and say, hey, kids, are you hunting? Would your dad let you shoot? And they say yes, then they're hunting.
Yes.
Okay? Every one of us has to have that.
Yeah.
Okay? Only one of us, me, has to have a license. My two children don't have to have a license yet. They're both younger.
But you have to have a hunting over corn permit.
So
license,
here's
whatever
what,
you call it.
Here's the beauty of it. And I'm not the, you know, I was a foot dragger on this. I'm not, you know, but it's personal. I also don't, there's certain ways I hunt and don't hunt, but I also don't think enough of myself to tell other people, you know, if you're doing something that's legal, I'm out of your business.
Right.
I may not choose to do things a certain way, but I'm out of your business.
Yeah.
In this case, even if I don't think I'm going to start slinging corn and hunting over it, I'm probably going to buy one of these because we've talked over the years here, and this is something that I think outdoor shows have done a poor job until the last few years of talking about, and that is how money comes to state conservation agencies.
Yes.
And I think that, and you know what, and even with my friends at the conservation agencies, they've done a poor job because they're, you know what, they're biologists. You know, they're law enforcement. They're not PR people.
Right.
They finally figured out with social media and all that that they got to get somebody in there doing PR. Y'all, the money we're paying in everything that shoots, okay, you guns, ammo, those kind of things related with shooting in the hunting world or shooting for target, whatever. There's an excise tax, 10% built in there. That money goes to a federal fund. We get that money back into the states to do projects like buy property to hunt in, put in shooting ranges.
Extra game wardens in counties.
You can't do that.
Actually, oh, it won't work?
No, but the nice thing is, the way this money is, it cannot be used for enforcement or personnel, but it frees up their budget. They can use the money elsewhere and have that money in the budget. Yeah, that's so we're talking about Pittman-Robertson Act. And in Pittman-Robertson, you can't use it for actual salaries. You can use it for projects.
Okay.
But the nice thing is, a DCNR can then take money from Pittman-Robertson Act, the federal funds coming in,
right,
and it's a match. It's usually a 75-25 or an 80-20 match, federal money being the big percentage to state, and they can free up money in their budget to have more game boards. It absolutely works. There's so much land that y'all are hunting, if you're like me and hunt public land, that's only there because of this. All right. It's a ratio, though, of how much you get back. It doesn't matter how much money, and we know we're buying some guns and ammo in Alabama. It doesn't matter how much you send up through that excise tax, how much you get back. It's based on a ratio of licenses sold.
Right.
Because in Alabama, you're on your own property, you're under 16, you're over 65, you haven't had to have a license, you don't show up. You don't show up.
Yeah.
So now just with my family, and so the way they've qualified this stamp, the stamp you're going to have to hunt over bait, it qualifies as a license.
Yeah.
So, for example, for my, and y'all can do your own math, for my family, it goes from having one hunter show up in the Sullivan house to now three of us show up.
So that's two extra.
I mean, we just think if that happened in, you know what, I think a family of four Alabama folks are pretty average. I'm, pretty average around. How many people are in my situation? They're a mom or dad. They have two kids who go home. Now all of a sudden, extra two here. Now the state numbers for licenses sold, because these things qualify as a license, goes through the roof. And there's so much more money from the federal funds that can come back to our state. And it's really important to get this money. We are paying it in excise tax. Let's get it back into our state to acquire more public lands, put in more shooting ranges. We need shooting ranges in the biggest way.
Yeah,
putting shooting ranges in, doing habitat improvement, doing, you know, I mean, not just having the land. I mean, now we have WMAs that have food plots on them, and summer food plots, and burns done on them, and all these things that make the land better. That money comes. That's how that money comes in.
Yeah.
So this is good. This is good.
And like me, I'm 65. I'm over 65, so I don't have to buy a license anymore. Right. So say me and my grandson go hunting. That's two.
Yes.
That's two more.
Yes. It would be zero.
It would be zero. So you're going to have three times more people, more licenses sold than there's ever been.
So even if and I'm with you. I mean, if you're somebody who questions whether how you'd field a hunt over bait, you know, but I'm still going to buy one.
Yeah.
Because what it does. And there's other nuances to the law, too, that gives the, the Director of Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries the ability to, God forbid, CWD or some other outbreak happens, disease, they can shut down all feeding. So right now, if you're feeding, right, you're not baiting, you're feeding.
Right.
You can do that. Nobody can tell you anything. CWD could show up and you don't have to stop.
Yeah.
What has changed here with this law now is if in an area of the state CWD shows up or EHD or any of those communicable diseases in the deer, they have the ability to shut down all feeding, baiting, everything. Because what we're worried about is in a certain area where that CWD or that EHD or something shows up. Because what happens is you have saliva transfer. And if you, Lord knows, if you're feeding or baiting, you're bringing deer into one place to eat. And they're swapping spit, whether they know it or not. If God forbid, and thank God we're one of these states that doesn't have the CWD issue right now. But if we ever did, if it was, you know, whatever county or this area or whatever, they could say, none of y'all are going to be feeding right now until we figure this out.
Yeah.
So it does give some more muscle for the folks at the Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries, which, by the way, I see stuff on Facebook. It just makes me shake my head because these people don't – there's too many people on Facebook who have no idea what you're talking about. I know the folks. Mike knows the folks that work at it. The people that are running Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries here – and on the marine side, Scott Bannon, who loves to fish, but people work wildlife out of Montgomery – they are all stone cold killers.
Just like me and you. They love the sport.
They kill critters.
Yeah. They don't want to see the limits go down. They wanna see everything get better.
That's their job, is to make sure we keep the wildlife we have and build up numbers of wildlife.
Yeah.
But there's not I see people go, they don't want me to hunt. Shut up.
Yeah.
The guys running the departments up there and the people working with them, go. Tell you what, it's your right as a citizen. Go to Montgomery and go to the offices of DCNR and walk in their offices. See if you can get a tour. It is like what the Playboy Mansion was to celebrating ladies, it is to celebrating taxidermy. You walk in, director on down the line, there's more taxidermy in the hallways, in the offices.
Yeah.
Pictures of every one of them, they all hunt.
Yeah.
So this stuff that goes on Facebook, where,
that's why they get in the business.
That's
why they're in the business. They love it.
They want to be around critters and doing this stuff all the time.
They want to help it.
And they hunt and they hunt and they hunt. So when I see people on Facebook go, oh, they don't like hunting, they're antis. That may be true in some other state, but I can tell y'all, God's honest, firsthand, and true here.
That's right.
These are people that want us hunting, want us killing critters.
Yep.
You know, so.
And catching.
Yes, and catching. That's for sure. All right. It's legal now, and I haven't looked at I think it may help because the, you know, question about the tariff battle going on between the U.S. and China. I can tell you this, whatever corn doesn't get bought by China because the tariff is going to be bought in Alabama. They're sling out of feeders this fall, so it may make everything okay.
Yeah.
Right. Any more questions on that, you can always drop us a line to the Facebook page, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Coming right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. on this Saturday. Glad you're here. Remember, podcast of the show posts up, let's say, the next hour, hour and a half or so. And you'll be able to get it. You get it directly if you want to go to the front page of FMTalk1065.com. Also, we'll get it posted up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065Outdoors. All right. Oh, and just I want to go back through one more time. Mike had to step out. He's getting an early start on the day. Since he gets a life of leisure, I'll sit here and finish it up. I do want to finish up. I want to go back through this baiting bill just so everybody understands. The situation before the bill was you could feed but not hunt over it, right? You could bait but not hunt over it. It had to be 100 yards, had to be out of the line of sight, which was a bad situation for both the hunters and for game wardens, for conservation officers, because it was in the gray. There's no absolute, right? Could you really see it? Could you not see it? Well, when you put it out, there were leaves on the tree. Now there's not leaves. That's all gone. And I think that is a positive, too, that's not a question. You have this license, the baiting license, $15, that'll, once again, if you buy it right now, you're going to have to get a new one going into this next hunting season. But after that, you have this, you can fill up you could have as many corn feeders as you want to run. And you could sit right underneath them. You can sit on top of them, sit in a stand right next to them. Does not matter. But you do have to have that stamp, that license. And you'll see it online now over at OutdoorAlabama.com. But in addition, this fall, it'll be available anywhere you get your licenses and WMA stamps and all that kind of stuff. It'll be right there. So that is the deal going forward. So I know there's been some confusion out there. This is removing of what it used to be, where you had to have the 100 yards and all that. It could just bait. This is like Texas, right? You just bait if that's what you want to do. If you got the budget to do that. Corn, it'd be baiting all the time. It'd be an expensive proposition, that's for sure. But yeah, we'll see. Maybe it's going to be a boon, even though there's a lot of corn sold, you know, right now at every convenience store, every feed and seed, up and down 43 and 45. Maybe it'll be a little bit more now. Maybe the numbers won't change much. It's to be seen. But what will change is that license, which means some revenue for the state, which is good, but most importantly, what it means is those matching dollars coming back for Alabama to secure more public lands and improve the ones we have, because if you realize it, we have the least amount of public land of any southeastern state. The least in percentage, by a good bit. Even with big stuff, and you know, we're spoiled down here because we have places like W.L. Holland, Mobile Tensaw, Upper Delta, Perdita River, Grand Bay. I mean, you've got a lot of stuff right here in our area, so it seems like, we got an abundance of it. But you look around the state, it's just not everywhere. You got to drive. There are big areas of state that have no public access, and that's a big deal. If you're looking to recruit new hunters, keep our sport alive, that's real important. All right, on the fishing front, I talked about it a little bit with this full moon going on tonight, and then, of course, you've got tomorrow, Monday, maybe even Tuesday before the fish start getting out of the mood of biting, because usually there's a lull after the full moon, but right now is a very good time. You got great tides, and you have fish that are spawning and wanting to bite, wanting to eat, putting on the feed sack. So get out and enjoy that trout fishing. And we talked to Captain Bobby on Thursday. He's talking about, just depends on the weather conditions where you go, because there's been trout deep structure, which, you know, Mobile Bay deep structure, not even the deep rigs, but maybe 8 feet of water, so 8 to 12. Obviously, there's gas rigs that are a good bit deeper as you get to the south end of the bay. But those places have fish, as do, still with the water temps where they are in the 70s, still have fish in 2.5 feet of water. Topwater bite should be pretty darn good at daylight. A lot of places, whether you're wade fishing or out of a boat, and then throughout the day, you can find those fish still biting in a little bit deeper water as the sun gets up. So get out and enjoy that. Red fishing has been good, as we heard from Captain Wayne Miller. It's also good at the south end of the bay, as we've heard from Captain Charlie Gray. So get out and enjoy that. Bull red fishing's been nuts, too. I've been seeing a lot of people on the bull red. So if you just want to go, hey, it's nothing wrong with that. You want to just go burn some drag and enjoy a day out there, get out there and chase some bull reds. All right, we'll do it all again next week. Prep Sports Report on the way in next. Y'all have a great one.